Shem Moloch Geus Lovesh Lovesh Hashem Oz His Azor Aftikon Tevel Baal Timod. What does this mean and what is the Hakdama to the Sinizmar? So let's look at the Mitzudes David. This really is a continuation. That's really what it is. A continuation of the previous Mizmar. Let's say Hashem, look at the Mitzudes David on page 845. Hashem Moloch in the past tense. We know we say in Pesukei Dezimra. There is only one expression in the entire Pesukei Dezimra that is not a real pasuk. And what is that? Hashem Moloch. Hashem Melech. Hashem Moloch. Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Vod. There is no such pasuk. There is no such pasuk that is a composite of three different psukim. Hashem Moloch, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Vod. Three different dimensions of time: the present, the past, and the future. Time is by far is always the most fascinating element in creation. Time, zman, something which man has no control over. You cannot stop time. Is there really something called the present? This is a very big debate in science. Is there, we like to say, you know, the present. There's the past, the future, and there's the present. Is there really the present? How can you define the present? Some will argue there is no such thing as the present. Because we have no control over time, it is impossible for us to control time. So every single moment, it's either the past or the future. You can't grasp, you cannot grasp. The past we can relate to. The past, the future is not here yet. This moment cannot be taken hold of, because when you the more you try to grasp it, it's already either gone or it's yet to come. Is there such a thing as the present? So, in Oz Yashir, Chazal tell us, in Oz Yashir, at the end of Shira, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Vod. At the end of the Shira, they made a mistake. At the end of the Shira, and we repeat this twice in order to indicate that the Shira is over, we say in the future tense, Hashem ke mikdash tivi emoy visita emo bahar nachalos lechom machon neshiv tchopa alto Hashem mikdash Hashem kol nunu yodecha, and then we say Hashem yim loich li'olam vo'ed, Hashem in the future will be the king. And when we recite Pesukei Dezimra in order to indicate that this is the end of the Shira, we repeat it a second time, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Vo'ed. And then some even say, Shnayim Mikov Yechatargum, they even translate the words in Aramaic, Hashem Malchusei Koim Le'olam Ule Olomei Olmaya. However, okay, but why do we repeat it? The simple reason why we repeat it is an indication that this is where the Shira ends. So why then do we continue in Pesukei Dezimra to say Kivasus Paro Berichboy Ubefarasha Bayom? It's a tough question. It's not so simple even how it got there, how this got into the Siddur that we should continue to say Kivasus Paro. Another very big question is why in Oz Yashir, in the Sefer Torah, Is this next pasuk written in the same style as the Shira, Ariach al Gabe Levain? In the Sefer Torah, everyone knows that Oz Yashir is written in a unique form. There's blank space. Ariach, it looks like a bricks. Ariach al Gabe Levaina. Yet this pasuk, according to most of the Rishonim, is not part of the Shira, and therefore it should not be written L'chora in the style of Ariach al Gabe Levaina. In fact, there's a famous story, I think during the Chassam Sofer, there was a Sofer who this question bothered him to no end. He wanted all of the Soferim in the world should stop writing in the Sefer Torah this pasuk Ariach al Gabe Levaina, because it's not part of the Shira. It's not part of the Shira. Many Baalei Kri, when they get up to this pasuk, Kivasus Paro, they don't end off. You're supposed to end off on a regular trop, because it's not part of the Shira. Oh, why then is it arranged in the Sefer Torah in the form, the style of Arichah B'Levena? It's a tough question, which it's hard to find a good answer for that question. All right, whatever it is. But there's a Medrash that says, if the Jewish people at the end of Kriyas Yamsuf would have said Hashem Melech Olam Voed, or whatever, however, then Mashiach would have come. The failure was a major failure. It's a Medrash. I'm not making this up. A major failure on the part of the Jewish people at the this is the end. This is the end. No, coming to Pesach. So Pesach, you have two parts of Pesach. You have the Seder, and then Shvi Shal Pesach, which is Kriyas Yamsuf. The Gemara of Yitzias Mitzrayim is Kriyas Yamsuf. And what is the end of Kriyas Yamsuf? Hashem, the last words of the Shira, Hashem Yimloch Li Olam Voed. That is a very sad pasuk. It's just like the end of the Megillah, when you think, wow, what a wonderful experience. Megillah Esther, we come to the end, and what's the last pasuk? Business as usual. Mordechai Rotsui L'roi Vechov. Not everyone liked Mordechai. Not everyone held that he did such a good job. Roiv, not kol. Achashverosh levied a tax, a mass. And I told you last week, why a mass? What is the significance? When did Achashverosh lower the taxes? V'hanocho osodlam, medinais ha-melech, in his demonstration of his appreciation for Esther Hamalka. He was enamored with Esther Hamalka. Oh, v'hanocho osodlam, medinais ha-melech. He lowered the taxes in her honor. At the end of the Megillah, I'm not so happy with the queen anymore. Now that I know that she's Jew, I'm not so excited anymore. Put the taxes back up. And what about Mordechai? Mordechai wasn't so hot anymore either. Mordechai was only Rotsu L'roi Vechov. The last two psukim of the Megillah tell us that Esther wasn't so special anymore, and Mordechai wasn't so special anymore. You know why? Akate Avde Achashverosh Anan. It was a miracle. It was an incredible success. But there's a lot more to do, and we're far from the Gula Hasida. Here is the same exact thing. The end of this story of Yitzias Mitzrayim ends off on a sour note. Hashem, what? Moshe, Ruach HaKodesh.
So you're really talking about Moshe, right?
Moshe is capturing the pulse of the people. Moshe,
should he be leading them?
What?
Should he be leading them?
Yes, but Moshe's abilities were limited. You know, Ein Melech B'Loyam. And Moshe, I'm not making this up, this is a very powerful medrash, in fact, Hashem Yimlach. When the people came to the end of this total end of the story of Exodus, they said, very good, we see what God can do. So one day, Hashem, not today. Today, we're busy. We're busy enjoying leading Allah. We're not yet ready for you. Hashem Yimlach. The day will come when you, Hashem, will be a king in the future, but not today. Today, we're busy. We got other things we got to take care of. If they would have said, Hashem Melech Olam Voed, it would mean we accept you, we see who you are, we see what you can do, and we are makabel, the Omal Chushmaim. Today, then Mashiach would have come, and there will be a different world. It will be. It is a statement of failure. It is a sour note. The story continues. Why so hard to believe? They did the worship the eagle only 40 days later. They worship the eagle. Kala, Chazal says, can you imagine you go to a wedding today in the 21st century and the kala is mezane tachas achupa? You go to a wedding today, go to Chinka, and under the chupa, the kala sees one of her old boyfriends, okay, in the audience. I went out with that guy. I wanted that. And it says, Mizane tachas the chuppah. Chazal said, that's what they did by Har Sinai. The Ribbono Shel Olam comes down and gives you the Torah, and you make an egel within 40 days. It's not to be believed. Why not? because it was only the Geder Hashem Yim Loich. They were unable to take the lessons of Yitzias Mitzrayim to their heart and be Mekabel 100%. There was something lacking. The last words of the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim means, you guys failed. I gave you, I did for you everything I can possibly do, but you did not incorporate the message into your heart. Just like Purim, the last two psukim of the Megillah tell us, unfortunately, the story of Purim was a very wonderful story and there's a lot to learn from it, but it did not make it 100%. The mass of Achashverosh represents that Esther was not so popular anymore and Mordechai was only Ratzu L'Roiv Echov. And that's why we're still here today, to finish up the job. We're still here. This Mizmar begins Hashem, another dimension of failure. Hashem Moloch, the past. We still can't get into Hashem Melech. Melech, the Iker is Melech. What is more powerful? Hashem Yimloch or Hashem Moloch? I don't know. Which Madrega is a higher Madrega? To say Hashem Yimloch or to say Hashem Moloch? Each one has its unique, in life, you know, you look back at certain things in life, you reflect at the highlights of your life, and you're very inspired. And then there are times in life where you look to the future. You look to the future and you see, you're inspired of what's going to be in the future. Which one is more satisfying? Which one is more uplifting? Which one gives you more Yirah Shamayim? It depends. There are many facts. You can't really generalize. But in Oz Yashir, it was a darga of Hashem Yimloch. Moshe writing this Mizmar doesn't tell us what point in life he wrote this Mizmar. And he's writing over here Hashem Moloch, not Melech. If you're not writing Melech, there's something wrong. This is the Medrash. This is not me. This is the Medrash saying this. Hashem Moloch. Okay, let's go further in the Mitzvah of Sion. Dav, Mitzvah Zavid. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shakol Nehiye Bidvarai.
Amen.
Hashem is in the Mitzvah Stavir Hashem Moloch. Bimei HaMashiach Yoymar. In the days of Mashiach Yoymar, the Jewish people will reflect backwards. Hine Hashem Moloch and Hashem Vilovesh Geus. Hashem has dressed himself in exaltedness. Lehis Go'ois Alakol, to raise himself up above everything else. Lova lovesh Hashem oiz, lovash koyach, oiz is power, v'his azor bo, ritzonu lemar, ata now, here koychoy, his azor means to belt, girdle. Look over here, the mitzvah siyoin, miloshon ezor vacha gira. Hashem has girded himself, zerus. We spent last week learning about this. What is a belt? A belt is a beautification, and it also represents hineni. Here I am. I'm ready to go to work. Here koychoy. So Hashem. So we have to be very careful over here. What's going on over here? Over here we are holding now in the days of Yimos Hamashiach, and what are we going to declare? We're going to recognize. We're going to reflect on the past. Hashem Moloch. Notice we're not going to say Hashem Melech. Unfortunately, this pasuk is predicting that we're going to fail. We are going to fail again in Yimos HaMashiach. Because and Yimos HaMashiach is a necessary tekufa to bring us ultimately to Olam Haba, a time when we will be able to say Hashem Melech in the present tense. In the days of Mashiach, there is a wonderful time of revelation, a wonderful time of success, but the pasuk here is alluding that even in the times of Yimos HaMashiach, we have failed. We will fail to declare the ultimate today, Hashem Melech. Wow, Hashem, it's impressive what you've done. And when we reflect backwards, Hashem Moloch. In the past, we can now appreciate everything fits together, and you, Hashem, have always been the king of the world. But what about today? I don't know. I'm busy today. I'm busy. I have other things I got to take care of today. We'll talk about it later when things calm down, when I when I, you know, I, and I do that when I finish my business for today, then we'll talk about it. But at least I give you credit, Hashem, that in the past you were the king, and you now have dressed yourself and girded yourself in majesty and in exaltedness. Lavash koyach v'hisazor bo v'ritzon lema ata now heru koychoy af tikoin oz yakiru hakol ki af olam ata hichanta. You have established this world. Laval tiye noitol lipol. You have established tikoin. And the word tikoin does not mean to fix. We always like to talk about this. One of my favorite topics in Aleinu. Okay, you have to make sure you don't get carried away over here in Aleinu. What is the correct yirsa? It says in Aleinu, l'sakein oylam b'malchu shakai. In every single sitter you have, it says l'sakein with a kuf.
Right.
And there are those who have argued that it is a mistake.
Right.
It is a tos hadufos. It should be with a kuf. L'sakein olam, not a kuf with a kuf. What's the difference? When you have a kuf, it means it's broken. Something is broken. The car does not start. Call a tow truck, bring it to the mechanic to get it fixed. That's l'sakein with a kuf. The world is broken, and we need Hashem to appear to fix the world. However, if you spell l'sakein with a kuf, then it means to come together to achieve its purpose. As we say every Shabbos, Tikanto Shabbos Rotziso Korbinoisel. Tikanto there, and all of this there is spelled with a chof. And what does it mean? You have established the Shabbos. And what does it mean? What does it mean in that context? You have established. It doesn't mean you have a standard. That's not a precise translation. It means everything in this world has come together to achieve a goal of Shabbos. Tikanta, these are contributions. Sunday has contributed its talents, its koiches. Monday has contributed. Tuesday has contributed. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Every animal has given over its koiches. Man has given donation. And now Shabbos, Tikanta, is the sum. And the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Shabbos is an established entity that has come forth from the culmination of every element of creation. Every element of creation does what it can do. And Shabbos is the sum of all of these infinite parts. But the sum is greater than, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And that is Shabbos. Nothing is broken. Nothing is broken. There are parts. Okay, there are parts. I will tell you, there was once a commercial from Honda. They gave, it was a commercial for a Honda Accord. This is at least 10 years ago. And this commercial cost, I think, $1 million. I think it was $1 million, maybe it cost even more to make this commercial. They took a Honda Accord, they broke it up into every single part. Could you imagine you have a car and you take it apart? Take it apart, every single part of the car. How many parts are there in a car? I don't know. There must be a few hundred parts.
Thousand.
A thousand. I mean, I don't know how far they went in taking it apart, but they took apart the car into almost every single possible part. It didn't look like from the commercial. You could probably Google this. You could probably find it on Google, because it was a real sensation. They broke
up the car.
It was a Honda Accord. I think it was a Honda Accord, and they broke up the car into every single part, and they did like a domino effect. They they drop something, and each thing that you drop causes the next part to react.
Right.
Like, you know, dominoes, like, you know, you push one domino. It was very elaborate, it was brilliant. And it was the whole process of, like, you know, the domino effect was all using all of the multiple parts of the car. One car, every single part went into this performance. Again, try to Google it, probably not so hard. I'll try to find it later. So that's what Shabbos is. Hashem made a world of a lot of parts, and every single part contributes. Every single part, not a commercial, but every single part that comes together to produce the shleimus of Shabbos, Tikanta Shabbos, with a kaf not with a kuf. A kuf means it's broken and it needs to go to a repair shop. Hashem did not create a broken world that needs to be fixed. When you say in the lane, L'sakin olam b'malchus shakai, the world is broken. Yeah, it seems like it's broken. It seems like we have a corrupt, crazy world out there and a lot of mishugim out there, and the world is broken and it needs to be fixed. But that's not correct, because Hashem does not produce products that are defective. There's no such thing. That's an insult to the Ribbono Shel Olam to say that he needs someone to come along and fix his world. It's tikanta l'sakein, and there are ancient manuscripts which do indeed have in Aleinu l'sakein with a chof, not with a kuf. And here you have this as well over here, af tikon. It doesn't say you fix the world. Af tikon tevel, the world you tikon, you have established, the same exact word you use for Shabbos, tikanta Shabbos, because this mizmar is just a natural continuation of Mizmar Tzadik Beis that begins Mizmar Shir Liyoyim HaShabbos. Okay, every time you say on Shabbos Mizmar Shir Liyoyim HaShabbos, you always follow it by saying Hashem Olach. It's the natural continuation. Why is it broken down into two parts? I don't know. But it's clearly a Hemshech. And we'll see in the Malbim soon, it's clearly Hemshech. And that's maybe possibly why we use the Nusach of Tikanta Shabbos, Ratzisa Karbon Asecha. When we begin the Musaf, it's the same idea. Back to the Mitzudeis. Over here, Af Tikon, Oz Yakiru Hakol Ki Af Ha'olam Ato Haichanta. He prepared Lebal Tiyanei to people, it should not collapse. Me'oz, okay, that's what the Mitzudeis was. Mitzudeis, according to the Mitzudeis David, the first thing to understand that Lefi, his understanding, this Pasuk is being written from the perspective of a person living in the times of Yemos HaMashiach. This pasuk is not today. We don't look at this pasuk. We're not standing today and reciting this pasuk. We are make believe, the world of fantasy. We are making believe that we are going fast forward in a time machine, and we're coming out in the times of Yemos HaMashiach, and that is the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the reality of Hashem. Hashem's presence in this world is visible. Hashem has dressed himself in a levush of geus, ois his azor. He has girded himself with strength, and it is now. This is the way the mitzvah stavit learns. It doesn't see it's adding the mitzvah stavit kedarkoi is adding a whole language into the pasuk, and he is saying then people will recognize at that time that Hashem, it's his world. He is the one that is tikkun the tevel b'altimah. That's the hakara of man at the times of Yemos HaMashiach, when Hashem is dressed in geus, and Hashem geus lovesh, lovesh Hashem oz his azar. It's hard to translate these words. We have to go back and be a little more precise. But at that time when man will recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu has dressed himself in the midah of geus, the midah of oz, and Hashem has not just dressed himself, he has also put on his gartel. Hashem, you don't go to the amud without a gartel. So raya, that by the nusach and by the Ribbono Shel Olam, the nusach svart. Because it says here that Hashem was wearing a gartel, right? So it must be that you have to have a nusach svart. Just joking. But it says over here, and then will be a time when the world will recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu has established. And yet, with all of this, we are in a state of failure. We still don't get it. We still can't bring ourselves to say Hashem Melech. We still have failed. Even the times of Yemos HaMashiach, we are still failures. We're able to look back and say Hashem Moloch. People argue that we're living today in Yemos HaMashiach. And what's the obvious question? That if you're living today in Yemos HaMashiach, how come there's so much suffering? People, there's a war going on. There are hostages. this terrible tzaras out there. There are problems that are.
So the Gemara at the end of Ksuba says there'll be at the end.
That's ikvus of the Mashiach.
Yeah.
So, but what about Yemos HaMashiach? Ikvus of the Mashiach is a time I don't want to see, because it's a time. So people will tell you that we went to the Holocaust. The Holocaust was, and now it's post-Holocaust, and there's, relatively speaking, there's peace in the world to a degree, whatever that means. I don't know what that means exactly. And people are able to do what they want to a degree, but so how could it be Yemos HaMashiach? Whoever said Yemos HaMashiach is a time when everything is perfect. Yemos HaMashiach is a time when, if you want, you can look back and you can say, oh, let's study world history. You have the perspective, the mile of hindsight. For us, it's impossible for us to relate to people who lived in previous generations. They didn't have, like today you see the Klal Yisrael, I mean, listen, the Holocaust and all the, but the nation as a whole, it's proven. The Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Klal Yisrael today is thriving. And you have to be a tippish to deny Hashem Moloch. You have to be a tippish. And the people who are in denial, the mamish tippishim. The 2,000 years, 1,954 years since the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Sheni, and you open up a newspaper, an FJJ, and you see over here Klal Yisrael, you see all the Pesach vacations you can go on, and all of the talented, inspirational speakers, and all of the incredible Chesed projects, and the yeshivas. Okay, the problems are unreal, the problems out there. But after everything is said and done, V'netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. So, Hashem Moloch. Hashem, what are we lacking? Hashem Melech. That's the problem. We don't have Hashem Melech. We have Hashem Moloch. When they came out of Mitzrayim, they didn't yet have a Bayis Rishon, a Bayis Sheni. They didn't have nothing. They said, Hashem Yimloich. Hashem Yimloich. There's going to be a Klal Yisrael. After Rosh Hashivcha Shebayam Mashaloi Ro Yechezkel Ben Buzi, Hashem Yimloich. In the past, they had nothing. What do they have in the past? But Hashem Yimloich. Here we are at the end of history, 2024, we can say Hashem Moloch. Pretty good. But unfortunately, we don't get our act together. We still can't say Hashem Melech. That's the prize. The prize is Hashem Melech. It's only here Hashem Melech.
Interesting to say that, because the Reform movement there, what we mentioned before with Olenu, is Tikkun Olam. That's their mantra. And they, of course, they there, the Torahs are nice, but it needs to be revisited.
Broken.
To be fixed.
So that's apikorsis. It's mamish apikorsis. To say that the world, that the Torah needs to be fixed, we need to be fixed.
Right.
The Torah is not on trial. We are on trial. And that's why the word tikkun with a kuf is a dangerous word. Look, every sinner in the world.
Rabbi Nel says, when Moshe went back up to the Aluchos, the second Shneos, he says, what does it mean? Shnei Luchos Havonin Karishonin. God is saying, you know, a lot of times when a company has a problem, so you have to change the bylaws so that you don't fall into the same trap. God says, you're going to rewrite the Zaseres Nedros. It's the same as the one before. There was nothing wrong with the first one. You were the problem. There was nothing wrong. Same bylaws.
Okay. We're on trial, not
right.
The term. Look at Rashi. Rashi is
how do you translate the pasuk "Vahoy Hashem l'melech hakol ha'aretz
b'yomav"? That's written from today's perspective. Hashem will be in the future.
So,
the future.
Sure would that do
then? Yeah. Why don't we say it today? Correct. V'hoy Hashem l'melech. Hashem will be in the future. That's right. It's not. What I'm saying is a medrash. I'm not making this up. The medrash says the problem is the ikur is melech. Not Moloch, not Yimloich, and if only Klal Yisrael would have said Hashem Melech, They would never be, no soine, they would be finished. They would be invincible for the rest of history.
The way I look at that is, right now, it's obvious because the sea split, we're crossing the Yamsuf. It's obvious that God did this and he is now in charge.
But it's not obvious.
After we finish crossing, is that the end? No, we believe that if he could do this, he will always be.
Okay. That's one mahalach. The Medrash says that you can see open, blatant miracles, and it doesn't make a difference to you. It just doesn't, because you don't want to accept. Man is stubborn. Man, you can show someone proof. That's.
So you give me permission to change that last pasuk in Aleinu?
No, what? L'saken with a kuf?
No. V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol haaretz.
That's the future.
Referring to the future. You're telling me what I shouldn't be saying there.
We're quoting a pasuk from Yeshaya. The pasuk in Yeshaya.
So you're blaming everybody. You're blaming Yeshaya, you're blaming Moshe.
That's right. Except myself. The only one I'm not blaming is myself.
Nobody had it right.
I'm perfect. This is
everybody had it wrong.
Ayin panim l'Torah. Obviously, the simple interpretation is it's a yearning for the coming of Mashiach. V'hayo Hashem l'melech al kol haaretz. Hashem yimloch. These are beautiful. This is part of Yadus. But ayin panim l'Torah. I'm not making this up. The Medrash is saying there are many dimensions. Here we're in Koilo, we're learning over here more sophisticated things. V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol haaretz. Why v'hoya? Why v'hoya? Why not right now? Why not right now? Don't we have enough? Don't we have enough life experience? Don't we have enough history under our belt from Klal Yisrael that we should be able to say that Hashem is melech today? What's with us? What's the problem? The human nature, the human condition is such, we're stubborn, we're thick, we just don't want to get it. In every dimension of our life, it's like that. Most of our problems, most of our people, is just an unwillingness to see the world what it is. Yeah, this is the human condition. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, Hashem Moloch Yoimru Le'osit. So the Mitzvah stuff is drawing from what Rashi said. This pasuk is not now. This pasuk, we have to transplant ourselves in the future, make believe we are standing in the time of the Zimos HaMashiach, and at that time, we will say Hashem Moloch. Hashem, we can, hindsight is 2020. Well, wow, look what Hashem did for the Jewish people. Look how the Jewish people as a whole have survived. You can't say every person, Rahman al-Islam, you know, throughout history, there's been a lot of casualties, an unreal number of casualties. But as a whole, the Netzach Yisrael Yishaker, Yom Eliyosid, Af Tikon Tevel, B'molchoi Tismach Haaretz, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will present himself as the Melech, then the world will rejoice. Where do you see rejoicing here? Where do you see, what is Rashi over here? Rashi over here is saying a chiddush. Rashi over here is saying, b'molchoi, when he will be king, then tismach haaretz, lovesh, Hashem, oz, his, azor, aftikon, tevel, baltimot. I don't know the answer. Where do you see joy? Ordinarily, when you have malchus, there's a lot of fear. Fear is not necessarily joy. I don't know what to say. Now let's look over here what it says in the Targum. Let me get my translation of the Targum. Tzadik Gimel, the first pasuk. Targum says, Hashem Milich, okay, which means Hashem is in the past tense. Gave Sanusa Albesh. Okay, same thing. Hashem has dressed himself in exaltedness. Albesh Hashem, comma. Hashem has dressed himself. Now here comes the hard part. It says, Ushno v'iz daraz l'choid Takef tevel de lo siz daza. So he translates over here is oiz vihis azor. Oiz and oiz his azor. Rak tikoin. He takes the word over here. Lechod means only. Af means only. He translates. Okay. Rak tikoin tevel baltimot. Alright, he's not really adding much. The only thing that he does add, at least what appears, if I'm not mistaken, is how to break up the pasuk. We say this all the time. I'm embarrassed. I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know anything. But the way he breaks up the words, Hashem Moloch, period. Geus Lovesh, period. Lovesh Hashem, period. Okay, he takes those two to the Hashem as dressed in what? What is Hashem? Gave sanusa albeish. Period. Albeish Hashem ushna v'iz daraz. Hashem has dressed himself in two different items, with oz and in. So it's not like it's. It seems though. And oz v'his azar. Lavesh. I don't know what to say because according to the mitzvahs of the word his azar means a belt, and. I don't know, there's something that's not right over here. Lovesh Hashem Oz, and not only did Hashem dress himself in Oz, he also girded himself. Is that what it means? Or is the word His Azor a noun? Is the word His Azor a noun which relates to the Lovash? Or is the word
Lovesh connected by the Chub? It's America
typical. That's part of the problem. Wait, Lovesh, it's two different Chubs. See, it's a mercha and it's a munach. And in Tehillim, the trop has its own set of rules, which I know nothing about. The three emes, three sifonim, Eoiv, Aleph, Mishle, and Tehillim. Three books have its own set of trop, which I don't know any of the rules. So the rules of trop, we completely, usually purely ignore them, because I don't. It could be there's a system how it comes together. Okay, I don't know. We have to see how exactly to figure out this opening pasuk of how these words go together. It's a little bit mysterious over here. The repetition of the word lavesh, lavesh, and to understand over here because it really sounds like the two words lavesh go together. Hashem Moloch, Geus lavesh lavesh. Period. And then Hashem Oiz His Azar. If I would not know better, I would assume. And no one. You have to see if anyone says this. If I would not know better, I would say that the three words Hashem Oiz His Azor is one statement. Hashem has girded himself with the midah of might. And the beginning of the pasuk says, Hashem is Moloch, period. And then poetic repetition, Geus Lovesh Lovesh. Hashem has dressed himself. We repeat the word Lovesh for whatever the reason is. We repeat words sometimes in the Torah. Hashem, Geus Lovesh Lovesh. But it seems that my idea is not popular. It seems that it's Hashem Moloch, period. Geus Lovesh, period. And then it says, Lovesh Hashem Ois His Azar. Problem is, the word Lovesh is a verb, and His Azar is a verb. And it doesn't make sense that there are two verbs in the middle of Hashem Ois. So something over here has to give. What is giving? I do not know. The Targum is not helping us. Let's look at the Radak. Radak, Pasuk Aleph, Hashem Moloch Ha'ilah HaMizmarim Ala Davim Mizmarim Asidim Al Yemos HaMashiach. The Radak, page 845, tells that these Mizmarim over here referring to, they are not today. These are things that are going to be said in times of Yemos HaMashiach. V'chasher Hishlim B'zeh HaMizmar Ki Oz Ya'kidu Kol Oilam Ki Yashar Hashem V'loy Avlas Saboy. Okay, that was the end of the previous Mizmar. Heichel Bezeh HaMizmar. So this Mizmar is, according to the Radak, according to almost everyone else on this page, is a direct continuation. The Mizmar before ends off with, we're now entering the time of Yemos HaMashiach LaHagid Ki Yashar Hashem Tzuv Lo Lasabo. And when that happens, when we enter into the Tekufa of recognizing the Yashuas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Lo Lasabo, that's when the world will declare Hashem is Moloch. V'yamar Hashem Moloch Geus Lovesh Lovesh Hashem Ki Oz Yakidu Kol Olam Ki Yashar Hashem V'chi Hu Melech Al HaKol. Notice over here he says Melech, the present tense. V'lo yisga'u, they'll not become, v'lo yisga'u, b'nei adam l'fanav k'mo sh'asu malchei humos k'mo sh'ama v'nevchanetza e'leh, albomo say, of adame le'elyoin. V'yama paru li y'ori, v'ani asi sini. Okay, v'yama melech Ashur, b'koyach yodi osisi, okay. Okay, then we go to number four. V'yom melech tzar kel oni moshe avolakim yoshavti. V'yos over here. This is really a magnificent piece of radak. He puts in front of us four superpowers. Quotations, compilation of the four leaders of the non-free world in different eras in history of the world who spoke with the extreme arrogance, declaring themselves to be God. Four different world leaders. Number one, Nebuchadnezzar, I will ascend onto the highest cloud, I will be similar to God. Paro, going back in time, Li Yoiri, Vani Asisini, I made the Yor, I created it. The king of Ashur, what did he say? Bikoyach Yodi Asisi Uvichach Masiki Nivunosi, I'm a brilliant, and with my wisdom I made this world. And the king of Tsar, Eloni, I'm a god. Moshav Elohim Yoshafti, I'm sitting on the seat of God. Ridiculous, Mamash, unbelievable Meshugayim over here in the world. Four people who had enormous power, who believed they were God. And when Mashiach will come, no human being will have the chutzpah to say such a thing. That's the Maila of Yemos HaMashiach. The Maila of Yemos HaMashiach is the humbling of the Meshugoyim who can actually go and make such statements. Ozen Yakidako ki lo yilbash malchus geos ki im. Hakel levado, v'lo levado hamelucha. K'mo shekasa v'hoyso l'ashem hamelucha v'omar v'hoyashem melech l'aretz v'oz yisazer oiz. Then he will gird himself with might. V'sikoyin tevel baltimot ki lo yusham oid margize haretz. There will be no longer any people that will terrorize. There will be no terrorism in the times of Mashiach. The earth will crumble. That was in times of Gog and Magog. And the times of Gog and Magog, there will be the earth will crumble. The Amar Noah Tanua Eretz, the earth will shake. Kashikor, like an intoxicated person, this noidida, it will collapse. Kameluna, like a hut in a strong wind. Avil bimos Mashiach tikon haaretz v'lo timod. Now here we find over here the Radak is coming to say something that is completely different than what it said in the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos David clearly said that the terms af tikon tevel bal timod is a statement of reflection, recognizing that this world could have easily come to an end many times in history, and Ribbono Shel Olam always was careful to make sure the world did not come to an end. Isn't that what it seems to say over here? If you go back to the Mitzudos and you look at the words, after you go to the Avapi Shel Yilbash Oiz, Lamelech HaKoretz, look at the Mitzudos, Oz Yakiru HaKol. I'm reading again the Mitzudos stuff on page 845. Ki Av HaOlam Ata HaHichanta Lebal tihi nota lipol. Then they will recognize that you made a world that will not collapse. Okay, I'm not sure what I said was correct, but I get sort of the gist that in the times of Yemos HaMashiach, there will be a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he maintained the existence of this world, and there have been times, there have been many situations, crises. There have been many crises where the world could have easily come to an end. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu always maintained the world from coming to an end. And that will be recognized in the times of Yemos HaMashiach. it would appear that the Radak disagrees. That the Radak says that this is something that is new that's going to happen. That at this point in time, af tikon tevel bal timot, timot over here means to falter. Falter from what? From wicked people. There are Rishoyim out there who rise up and get everyone nervous. People shake. Okay, they shake in their pants when these Meshugayim rise up and they threaten people. And at the time of Mashiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like for example, the four people that he mentioned, the king of Tsar, the king of Ashur, the king Melech Mitzrayim, and the Nebuchadnezzar, they behaved in such a way where people were terrorized. And the world, people felt the world shaking underneath. In the times of Yemos HaMashiach, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence will be sensed by the common man, it will be impossible for there to rise up a Meshuganah that will terrorize and cause people, timot, mankind to shake, that a person will have the chutzpah to say that he is God and he is the boss of this world. This is what appears to be the parish of the Radak. Now let's look over here at on the bottom of the page. Bottom of the page of the Likudei Shas, Hashem Moloch Geos Lovesh, Lovesh Hashem, Oz his azor. Again, it's very, you have to figure out where to put the commas. Hashem Moloch Pirkam. Geos Lovesh, comma. Okay, now the next words. Again, you normally have a verb and a noun. You don't have a verb, noun, verb. That doesn't make sense. Okay, in no language do you have verb, noun, verb. So therefore the only logical sense is to say is Lovesh Hashem, comma. Verb, noun. Hashem has dressed himself in what? Doesn't say. And then it says, Oz his azar. Hashem has girded himself with oath. I wanted to say is that the two lovesh, they go together. So it's Hashem Moloch. Geus lovesh, period. And then Hashem Oz his azar. And then Af tikon tevel baltimot. Rabbi Huda Oimer Mishum of Yakiva. Bayoim Shishi Hayu Oimer Mahalavim Vesamidash Hashem Moloch. This is my favorite mizmar, because it's the shortest one the whole week. On Friday. You know it's Friday when you say Hashem Moloch, the shortest mizmar. Hashem Moloch Eos Lavesh. Al Shem Shabiyam HaShishi Gama Malach Ben Malach Aleim Yiru. He finished the Malach and ruled upon them. Okay, so therefore he's taking this over here. This, according to the Medrash. You see many interpretations. The typical Medrash. This, not like what we learned in the Mitzudos and in Rashi and Radak, this Mizmar is not to be said in Yemos HaMashiach. Let's go back in time. This Mizmar was recited on Shabbos after Hashem finished the Sheshes Yimei Bereshis, and everything now is functional. The world has gone into motion. Hashem has turned on the power, and the world now is in motion. Now, this mizmor is recited in recognition that the world is functional. Gamar melachta v'molach aleihem, and he said this mizmor. Next chazal. Vayisharna haparos baderech.
Lavesh here. It reminds me of a pasuk from the Megillah.
Esther Malchus.
What
do you
mean? Not
Begadim Shel Malchus. Shechida, the Ruach HaKodesh. Rashi says that she was Lovash Ruach HaKodesh. Rashi in the Megillah. Lovash Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh. So you want to say over here is that Hashem Moloch, Geus, well it says the word Geus, Lovish. If you say Lovish Hashem, it doesn't mean everything by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not to be taken literally. Everything by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he enveloped himself in godliness.
He revealed himself.
A levush is a revelation, a physical manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself in this world. There's a divine revelation in this world at this time. According to the Medrash says this Mizmar, typical Medrash, is not to be understood for referring to Yemos HaMashiach. Adarabah, we are going back to the time of creation. Okay, next Mizmah, the next Chazal. Vayisharna, this pasuk is a famous pasuk when the people from the Pelishtim, and the aftermath of the death of Eli HaKoyen and his two sons, Chofni Pinchas, the Oroin HaKoydesh was captured by the Pelishtim, and it was put in a church in Gath, Digoin. There was an Avodah Zorah called Digoin. There was a church of Digoin, and they put the Oroin in Digoin. They come the next morning, what do they find? The Avodah Zorah collapsed. The Avodah Zorah Digoin collapsed on the floor, and all of the people of the Pelishtim, they're suffering from hemorrhoids. They're suffering from hemorrhoids, and they realize they're in a lot of trouble for stealing the Oroin HaKodesh. So what did they do? They built a magnificent wagon, and they brought Poros, seven cows, and these seven cows, they escorted, miraculously on their own, they escorted the Oroin back to the Jewish people. And as these Poros escorted the Oroin back, the Poros miraculously sang Shira. Vatisharna, okay, it's interesting, we talk about the Pi Ha'asayin. We talk a lot about the Pi Ha'asayin of Bilam, who gave Musa to Bilam, but we don't talk all that much about the miracle of a para speaking, and not just speaking words of Musar, but singing words of Shira to Hashem. Vayisharna haparois, the seven cows that escorted the Oroin back to Ir David, back to David HaMelech when it was returned. Not Ir David to There was a Jew base Oved Edom, to the base Oved Edom who hosted the Oroin for a significant period of time until David was ready to take the Oroin. Vayisharna haparos baderech al derech beis shemesh, towards al means towards the derech of beis shemesh. It's interesting that we mention beis shemesh. Why, by the way, is it called? We learned this last 2 weeks ago. How many places in Tanakh are called Beis Shemesh? Beis Shemesh is mentioned in Tanakh four times, in four different regions. There's a Beis Shemesh in Naphtali, in Yehuda. I think the Beis Shemesh today is the Beis Shemesh of Yehuda. The Beis Shemesh today, and why is it called Beis Shemesh? So most people will assume it's very hot. Anyone here live in Beis Shemesh, go to Beis Shemesh? Okay, Ramat Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalit, Hay. They have a lot. They're already hay ready, right? They're building hay already, I think. I think they're building already hay. Okay, the Americans all live in Aleph. And then Beis is basically Chassid. It became the Turi Karta. Part of Beis. And then Gimel are really like the children of Aleph. Is the second generation, people who lived in Aleph. So their children, their grandchildren, they all seem to have brought up Gimel. And Dalit, I have no idea what Dalit is. Last time I was there, they were still building it. And I was told they're finished already with Dalit. Now they're up to building hay. It's amazing. It's unbelievable what's going on there. Why is it called Beis Shemesh? It's oppressively hot, right? No, that's not why it's called Beis Shemesh. It's the Goyim, the Amorim, worship the sun. They worshipped the sun. It was a stronghold. And yet, it's amazing that we still call it Beis Shemesh, even though the simple reason why it's Beis Shemesh is because this is the place where they worshipped the sun as an idol. That's what it seems. The whole Shad, there was a walled city, do you keep two, do they lay in the Megillah? What day lay in the Megillah? In Beis Shemesh. They don't do it. They do it on Yudalit. But there are some diehards that hold that you have to lay in there on Tezvav because Beit Shemesh possibly was a walled city, and the suburbs of a walled city, have the same din as a walled city. You have to lay in on day 15. All right, whatever it is. But over here it says that when they brought the Paros back, it was a moment of incredible revelation of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it says it's interesting that it says that they passed along the derech of Beit Shemesh. My, what does it mean? The word Vayisharna. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir Sh'amru Shira. They sang Shira. Rav Zutra Bar Tovi Amar Rav Sheyishu Pneiem. It means that they went backwards. People don't know this. When they carried the Oroin, people think they carried forward. How did they carry the Oroin HaKodesh? The Levium. make believe that this sefer is the Aron HaKodesh. Okay, so how many Levim carry the Aron HaKodesh? Only two. Only two Levim carry the Aron HaKodesh, right? Is it four? I think between their shoulders, right? Between the between.
Four.
No, I don't think four. I think two people carry.
Two inside. Two.
No, that was the mizbeach. That was a shulchan. I don't remember. I'm not sure. I think between the bottom, which side they put the bottom, the two. I don't remember. But the point, whatever the point is, when they walked, however they carried the aron, the faces of the Levim who carried, their faces were toward the aron. So when you went, you had to walk backwards. One of the two people that was carrying the aron was walking backwards because you couldn't put your back to the aron. If you were carrying the aron and you have to go in this direction, you don't go with your back towards the aron, even sideways. You don't even go sideways. You, out of derech eretz, however you're carrying, you're facing the aron. So if you're walking in one direction, you have to walk backwards. The parois are the same thing. And that's a tremendous feat. Have you ever see a paro walk backwards? Okay, one thing for a human being to walk backwards, but a paro to walk backwards? Vayisharna, that when the paros escorted the Aron HaKodesh back to the machane of Klal Yisrael, the paros, their faces were towards the Aron and their backs were in the other direction. That's what it means, vayisharna. A paros, amal der agar b'yisharna, sheyishu p'neim k'neged Aron v'amru shira. My shira amru. What was the show? This is the very interesting thing. What did they sing? Ma shira amru. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni Amar. Unbelievable what it says here. Hashem Moloch Geus Lavesh. Unbelievable. So this Mizmar, according to the Medrash, the author of this Mizmar was who? A para. It was not composed by Moshe. It was not composed by Adam Rishayim. Maybe you'll tell me, Moshe wrote it, they knew it. This is the Mizmar that was recited by the Parois as they escorted the Aron back from the base Avodah Zarah of Digoin to base Oved Edoin. After the death, it's called Digoin, right? It was a fish god. It was a fish god. What are they called? Half person and a mermaid, something like that. They worshiped this god. They made an image. They put in the box golden hemorrhoids. What does that mean? I have no idea.
I don't know.
I have no idea what that means.
They didn't have preparation
age. Golden hemorrhoids were given as a gift to the Jewish people, and so therefore that we have to understand this mizmar. When we study this short mizmar, it relates to the story of Chofni Upinchas and Eli HaKoyen and Shiloi. Shiloi was destroyed in the aftermath of this event. Eli, the Aaron's capture was coincided with the Chorban of Shiloi. 357 years, I forget. How many years were there in Shiloi?
369,
thank you. 369 years. Klal Yisrael lived in Shiloi. That's when the Mishkan was. And when the Aron was captured, Shiloi came to an end. And Eli HaKohen died. His two sons, Chofni and Pinchas, died. And Pinchas' daughter-in-law gave birth, and she called her child Ikavod. Ikavod. The Kavod of the Jewish people is lost. With the Chorban, because the Aron was captured. And now when the Aron was restored, it's a big deal. And this is the Mizmar which captures that particular moment, the Medrash. Let's finish up. Kasha hi gasa ruach. Okay, we have over here some Musa. Mm-hmm. Next time, Chazal. Kasha hi gasa ruach, shakol gasa ruach, kilo isa atzma Eloah. Anyone who is arrogant is equivalent to Avodah Zarah. Shelevushoy shalkadosh baruch hu geyos shenemar Hashem malach geyos lavesh. Okay, Rabbi Say. V'shan Rabbi Say the melech b'basam adam ein rechem al susoy ve'ein mishamshem b'sharvitoy a melech. No one is allowed. This medrash is very relevant for Purim. Very relevant for Purim. Because what did Haman ask Achashverosh? I want to wear your clothing. I want to run on your horse. I want to wear your crown. Okay? He was an Avodah Zarah. V'shod Rabbah Seinu b'melech b'osav adam. Ein roich mi violated, Haman violated the laws of Malchus. He's not allowed to be mishamish in his scepter. Let's just repeat it. Is there a mistake here? Is there a repetition over here? The ain loivshim levushai. The kol shekain melech malchem lachem hakadosh baruch hu. The Ribbonoi Shalom is the only one that has Geus. No one is allowed to take Geus, that is the domain of the Ribbonoi Shalom. So a person who acts with arrogance, it is Avodah Zarah. You are violating the laws of Malchus by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a Rambam. This Rambam is one of the most shocking Rambams. The Rambam says a person who worshipped Avodah Zarah, a Kohen, let's go, here everybody say, a Kohen who worshipped Avodah Zarah, the Rambam says, even if he did b'shoigeg, even if he does the ultimate teshuva, a teshuva that the Ribbono Shel Olam can be made that he did a shuva shlema, is possible to do the avod of the Beis HaMikdash. It's an incredible punishment. There's no return. Avodah Zarah is so chomor. A Kohen who worships an idol, even by mistake, and he does teshuvah. A complete dosage of teshuvah, that there's no one. The Rambam has very powerful words. I don't have the words in front of me.
But why would that be any different than anything else that would make him a cholol? For doing certain things.
Achal is a yichus. His yichus is something defective.
A
Yisrael, that's a yichus. A yichus we can at least relate to. That your DNA is not valid. Your DNA is not valid. A Yisrael can't do avodah. He can stand on his head only once. A Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, can't do the avodah. The Chazonish can't do the avodah. The Beis HaMikdash. He can't. You're Yisrael. A Levi, a Chol is the same thing, it's manifest. But a person that does an Avera, we live in a world where we think you can do whatever you want. You can do any Avera you want. Don't worry, you do Teshuvah. You do Teshuvah, everything is okay.
Except for Avodah Zarah.
That's the way we, even Avodah Zarah you think. We live in a world where we imagine that you can, that in the meantime, I'll do whatever I want. And the day will come when I really, when I need to be religious, I'll shape up, I'll do Teshuvah. Slach lanu ki chatanu, mechalanu al fast. All is forgiven. And adaraba, b'mokoyim shabali teshuva oimdeh b'afilu tzadikim gemurim einem yechamamar. It's a milah to be a sinner.
Rabbeinu Yonah in Sha'ari Tshuva, which I learned today because it's a piece every day, and he talks about doing tshuva, and there's still, and he says, even with all the tshuva on certain things that you do,
it's not going to help.
It ain't going to help.
The Rambam says,
it's
11:10. You got to be joking. You got to be joking. I can't believe this. All right, stop over here. Way over time.